Good morning. Hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. As we finish up our Sermon on the Mount, today's reading from Matthew, you can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. May God bless the reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God.
From the love of my own comfort, from the fear of having nothing, from a life of worldly passion.
And all God's people said amen.
Amen. Amen.
This morning we conclude our November sermon series, Treasure, based upon Jesus' Sermon on the Mount found in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Specifically, we've been focusing on verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And during this month, we've asked ourselves in various ways, where is our treasure? Where are our hearts? The first week, we considered how we find treasure in the saints that have gone before us and those that accompany us today on our journey. The second week, we differentiated between possessions and treasure, recognizing that our real treasure comes in our identity as a child of God and the recipient of God's constant, unfailing, and unconditional love and grace. Last week on Thanksgiving Sunday, we considered the treasures and blessings with which we have received this past year, and then how to live without worry, trusting in God by looking at the birds. Today we turn to Jesus' words of caution when pondering to whom our treasure and our heart truly belong. You cannot serve two masters, Jesus says. In other words, you have to choose which road you are going to follow, which team you are going to join. Well, now, speaking of teams, yesterday was the Iron Bowl. I know here in Southern California that doesn't mean a whole lot, but where I'm from in Alabama, it means everything. And right now, Alabama really needed some good news. I'm just going to say that and leave that right there. Oh, I have plenty to say, but I'm just going to leave it right there for today. Well, and the Hurlongs are not here. Lloyd and Katrina are such War Eagle Auburn fans, and they just probably didn't want to come to church today because they were going to gloat because my precious Bama team did not win. Well, our superintendent told a story about the rivalry of old between these two teams at our district conference last September, and I thought it was appropriate to share it with you this day. It was back to when Bear Bryant was the coach, and the Bear Bryant was just, you know, God's gift to football, I'll just put it that way, at least in Alabama. Well, Bama and Auburn were playing in one of the most crucial games of the year, which it always is, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and Bama was leading by 5 points. 2 minutes were left in the game, and Alabama had the ball 20 yards from the goal line, and on the first down, the lead quarterback was sacked and injured. So Coach Bryant had to send in his number two man. And he told him, he said, he gave him strict instructions, which Kevin was talking about with our kids today. Not under any circumstances was he to throw that ball. He was to run the ball 3 downs, even if they didn't gain a yard, it didn't matter. Just stay in place so we can win the game. And the defense could hold back Auburn. Well, on the second down, Alabama was stopped dead. And on the third yard, they gained, just 1 yard. Fourth down, the quarterback turned to hand off the ball, but he missed the handoff. He began to run. And when he did, he saw a receiver open in the end zone. And what a chance he had to score and to win this game for the team. And so, not being able to resist the opportunity to be a hero, he launched that pass to his receiver. But what he didn't notice was that the safety for Auburn was just a few yards away. And this All-American safety tended to be the fastest man on any field he was on. So the ball's in the air. Okay, how many of I have lost already just because if you don't follow football? The safety cut in front of the receiver, he pulled the ball in and he headed for the other end zone. And all of a sudden the quarterback caught up with the swift safety. He tackled him on the 2-yard line as the clock ran out. And Alabama won, unlike yesterday. And after the game, the Auburn coach asked Bear Bryant, coach, he said, I've read the scouting reports. That quarterback is supposed to be the slowest man on the team. How is it he caught up with the fastest man on the field? And Coach Bryant replied, it's simple. Your man was running for a touchdown. My man was running for his life. Pretty good tryptophan clearing kind of story. But the point is this, we all have to choose which team we're going to play on. And then we have to choose how we are going to play. As Paul told the church at Thessalonica, here's how you play. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. And there are times in which we will have to choose which circumstances we want to be surrounded by, and that we want to order our lives. For example, have you ever tried to walk in 2 directions at the same time? Can't do it. You have to choose. Have you ever tried to have 2 thoughts at the same time? Try it. You can't. You have to choose, and you have to order your thoughts. In the same way, you can't have two fundamental life priorities or masters, in the words of the book, at the same time. This is not just simply a question of advisability. Jesus didn't say, you shouldn't serve God and wealth. Jesus did not say, you must not serve God and mammon, because it's not a question of accountability. It's a question, rather, of impossibility. You cannot serve God and money. Back in the day, Bob Dylan wrote a song that goes like this. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And the choice, my brothers and sisters, is up to us. Where is our treasure? Where is our heart? According to our Methodist founder, John Wesley, you know, all of us are already rich by the world standards. Wesley said that the word rich in the Bible means to have the necessities of life, of food and shelter and clothing, and then something left over. And by that definition, we are all rich, and we should not want for excess or treasures on earth. Instead, we are to store up treasures in heaven, as Jesus taught us to do. Now, I see two problems that I know you all already have seen with this. First of all, we don't feel rich, do we? Well, maybe some of you do. I don't know. If you feel rich, would you see me in the narthex after worship? I just saying. We can chat. We don't feel rich, but we are. And second, and more important, when we choose to serve money or wealth or mammon, whatever term you want to use, we are simultaneously choosing to live out of fear. It's not that we don't have enough, because no matter how little we have enough. But we're afraid that we won't ever have enough. We're afraid that we'll not be able to stay having enough. And that fear is driven by a lack of spiritual maturity and a plain old lack of faith. We might say in God we trust, but it's really in our resources and our wealth that we have the illusion. We think we find security. In her book, The 9 Steps to Financial Freedom, Susie Orman writes of a visit to Mexico that she took, and there was a merchant was selling parrots. They weren't in cages and they didn't fly away. And Orman was fascinated, and so she asked the vendor, do these birds just love you so much that they don't have any desire to leave? And he said, no. He said, I teach them to think that their perches mean safety and security. And when they come to think this, they naturally wrap their claws tightly around the perch and they don't want to release it. They keep themselves confined as if they've forgotten how to fly. And she said, well, was this hard to do? And he said, well, with little birds, it's very hard, sometimes impossible, but it's easy with the large birds. And then she writes in her book, suddenly a light bulb went off in my head. We're just like those poor parrots. We're taught to clutch our money as tight as we can, as if money is the perch of our safety and our security. Like the parrots, we have forgotten how free we really are, with or without the perch. The more afraid we are, the tighter we hold on, the more we have trapped ourselves. And when she realized this, she asked the parrot man how he would go about unteaching the behavior. He said, it's easy. You show them how to release their grip, then they can fly as free as they want. How do we release our grip? Adam Hamilton, the pastor of the Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City, says our souls were created in the image of God, but they've been distorted. And he offers some advice on how we can let go of our own purchase. He says we were meant to desire God, but we've turned that desire toward stuff, toward possessions. We were meant to find our security in God, but instead we try and find it in amassing wealth. We were meant to love people, but instead we find ourselves comparing ourselves to them. We were meant to enjoy the simple pleasures of life, but we keep ourselves busy by pursuing money and things. We were meant to be generous and share with those in need, but we're selfish at heart. We keep our resources for ourselves. And this part of our nature, when we give into it, we can truly call sin. And if we continue to indulge that side of ourselves, we can destroy our lives in the same manner that any other addiction would. If we keep barring against our future so that when we go to our next college reunion, we'll have the best car or the finest house. If we keep trying to compete with our neighbors and in the process spending more than we can afford, that's when we allow that sin to take over us and completely rob us of true joy. We choose to be controlled by the almighty dollar instead of choosing to control the dollars we have. And when our lives are consumed by consumption, there's no space for God. We have no energy to open ourselves and our hearts to God's plan and God's purpose for our lives, which is opening ourselves to God's treasure in us. You cannot serve both God and wealth. We have to choose. We have to open our hearts to receive God's great love and trust that it by itself will be the blessing of enough. Because it's then we can truly consider the amazing possibilities of life as a blessed follower of Jesus Christ. Hamilton suggests the following sentence prayer every morning: Lord, help me to be the person you want me to be today. Take away the desires that keep me from following you. Help me be single-minded in following you. Amen. See, that kind of a centering prayer in your own words helps us in our lives when we're asked by Jesus to reconsider what is important to us and whom we choose to serve with our time, with our treasure, and with our talents. And there's space for all of those things on that insert that's in your bulletin, that 2018 treasure commitment card. When we renew our own commitment to follow the words of Jesus, especially in his Sermon on the Mount, we begin to see the wisdom again and again in letting go of mammon and drawing nearer to God. And so if we indeed decide that life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, if we're willing to trust God as we give to God, not out of our abundance, but rather sacrificially, giving up something that's already controlling us so that we can be in control of our wealth and our riches, as Wesley would put it, that's when we live in gratitude for all that we have. And then we decide to live simpler lives, perhaps, waste less, conserve more, trusting God for all our needs, and then prepare ourselves for the months and years ahead, when in the words of Wesley, we're called to earn all we can and save all we can so that we can give all we can to build the kingdom of God in our midst. You see, we don't have to be the hero quarterback. We don't have to be the fastest runner on the team. We just need to be on the right team, the team that chooses to serve God, because it is on that team that we will find our treasure and our heart. Amen.